But I want you to go with me to Psalm 65, and I just want to share with you the word. It's really been on my heart, and what I really believe the season that we are in as a church with the Lord. Psalm 65, starting with verse 9. Verse 9 says, "Thou visitest the earth and waters it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springs thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop with fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are also covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing." Psalm 65, the verses that we read, 9 through 13, is really what I feel from the Lord, that He's speaking to us as a church. But this morning, before I expound out of verses 9 through 13, I really need to lay a very good foundation, a very powerful foundation for us. So I just need to go to the beginning of the chapter. Look with me, Psalm 65, verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall be the vow be performed." He says, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed." In other words, what David is saying is this. He's saying, "Lord, everything that needed to be prepared has been prepared in regards to offering you up praise. Everything that needed to be made ready has been made ready. The people have been assembled. The musicians are in place. The psalms that we are going to sing to you have been prepared. Everything that needed to be prepared has been prepared. And most importantly, the hearts of your people has been prepared. That all the hearts are still and quiet before the Lord. Every heart is free from fear and free from anxiety. That there's a deep sense of gratefulness in every heart regarding the goodness of the Lord. And the people are now ready to pay their vows, are ready to pay their sacrifices. And spiritually speaking, what that simply means is this. The hearts of the people are so ready to walk in obedience to the truths and the principles that you have put in our hearts. That the people of God, because of the revelation of the goodness of God, there's just a desire in every heart to love and obey the things that God, you have put in our hearts. That's what David is saying. And then in verse 2, David says, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." Now, really listen to that. In that verse, you can hear the passion of David's heart. He says, "O thou that hearest prayer, to thee shall all flesh come." In other words, there is such a living revelation that God has put in David's heart. And that living revelation in David's heart is simply this. That when God's people come together and pray, God so desires to hear their prayers. He so desires to answer their prayers. That when God's people come together and assemble together to offer the Lord praise and prayer, the Lord is there. The desire and the delight of His heart is to hear the prayers of His people and to answer their prayers. And brothers and sisters, this is something that we really, really, really need to get a hold of as a church. This is not a message that we hear, make an altar call, walk out and forget about it. This is what God is speaking to us as a church. We really need to understand. We really need to understand that God so desires that when we come together as a people to lift up our prayers to the Lord, God desires to hear our prayers. He desires to answer our prayers. They may not be answered overnight, but He desires to get behind the prayers of His people and to begin to do a work and to work according to the will of His heart. That's what God desires us to know. And when you really have that in your heart, prayer meetings will change. Prayer meetings will change because the people are coming in with such a faith and an expectation that God is here and He desires to hear our prayers and He desires to answer our prayers. I think George Mueller said it best. George Mueller was a mighty man of faith and he was a mighty man of prayer. And this is how he defined prayer. He said, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is laying hold of God's willingness." He said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. God is not reluctant to answer his prayers. Prayer is understanding God is so willing to answer our prayers. And it's coming into his presence with such a faith and an expectation and laying hold of his willingness to answer prayers. Beloved, today God is looking for a people that will assemble themselves and come together in his presence, understanding God so desires to answer prayer, and they have a desire in their heart to apprehend his willingness to answer prayer. And then immediately after he talks about God's heart for prayer and to answer prayer, he begins to talk about the wonderful goodness of God upon his life, the mercy of God upon his life. He begins to talk about God's wonderful loving kindness, that he would forgive David's sin, that he would shed his mercy upon David by forgiving his sin. Verse 3 and 4 says, iniquity prevails against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. So in other words, David is saying the same thing that many of us say. David is saying this. He's saying, I love the Lord. My heart deeply loves the Lord. But yet I'm made out of flesh and blood. I have faults. I have frailties. I have weaknesses. I have imperfections. And there are just times that I sin against the Lord in my heart. But yet the Lord in his great loving kindness is so willing to forgive me that when I come before the Lord with a heart of true repentance, the Lord so desires, there's just a willingness not just to answer prayer, but to forgive me of my sin. And brothers and sisters, I truly believe that it's not a coincidence that he throws talking about forgiveness of sin in this place of corporate worship and prayer. Let me ask you a question. Where is it so often the enemy comes and he condemns and accuses us the most? Where is it so often that our own hearts try to rise up and accuse us the most? Beloved, it's when we come to church. So often it's when we come into that corporate place with the people of God to lift up our praise to the Lord and to lift up our prayers to the Lord that the enemy comes with such an oppression and such a heaviness and he tries to bring his accusations. But the Lord is saying here simply this, yes, you may have stumbled. You may have taken a fall. There may be sin in your heart. But you have to understand, I am a loving God. I am a gracious God. And when you come before me with true repentance, I so desire to forgive you of your sins. I so desire to wash you, and I so desire to cleanse you. And with that revelation, David then goes on to say, with the revelation of God's love and God's willingness to cleanse and forgive his people, he begins to talk about the goodness of God's house. He says in verse 4, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. In other words, David is saying, because God loves us and so willing to forgive us, that we can come in and we can be cleansed and we can enter in into the goodness of his house. That when we come in, there's so much that God desires to do. When we lift our hands in prayer and praise, he desires to pour his spirit out upon us. He desires to meet the needs of our heart. He desires to change us and transform us by being in his presence. What David is saying is, when you come into the house of the Lord, you can come in with an expectation in your heart. You can come in with a joy in your heart. It's good to be. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because he cleanses me. He forgives my sin. And there's such goodness in his house. So many good things. God wants to, when his people come together in his house, he wants to answer their prayers. He wants to fill them with his life. He wants to fill them with his goodness. He wants to fill them with his joy. The goodness of the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters. So he says these things. Talks about the goodness of the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I really believe that this is one of these psalms that we need to tuck in our hearts. That every time we come to church, this is a psalm that we really need to meditate upon and think about. That when my heart is prepared, when I'm walking in obedience to the Lord and there's a gratefulness in my heart, and I understand God is so willing to forgive my sin and that he so wants me to enter into the corporate worship with his people and enjoy the goodness and the blessing of the Lord, that he pours his spirit out upon us. Brothers and sisters, I really believe that this is a psalm that we need to get a hold of in our heart. I know the enemy fights against us. I know he comes with his lies and his accusations, and he points his finger of finding fault. But I'm telling you, there's forgiveness with God. And you don't have to sit in his house oppressed and feeling condemned and feeling accused. God says, I'm so willing to forgive you. I'm so willing to wash away your sins. And if you'll just come into my house with that kind of faith, you will experience the goodness of my house. I will pour out my spirit upon you. You'll understand the life that is in God. I will stir that life up with in you. I will hear and I will answer your prayers. When you call upon me, I will strengthen you. I will make a way when there is no way. You will see the miracles of God in your house, in your home, and in your church. It's what the Lord is saying here. Now, with all this in mind, here's the question that I want to ask. Psalm 65 is a psalm of corporate worship and praise. In Psalm 65, David is assembling with the people of God to offer the Lord praise from the heart. And prayer. But going into this time, going into this corporate place of worship and prayer, what is the revelation that God put in David's heart? In this time where he's entering into this assembly of people to meet with the Lord, what is this living word, this living revelation of God's heart that he's going into this time with? Well, again, look with me at verse 9. We're just going to read again verse 9 through 13. It says, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are also covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. So let's ask that question again. When David goes into this assembly of people for a time of worship and prayer, what is the living revelation that God puts in his heart that he enters that assembly with? It's simply this, that God so desires to open the heavens and pour out his rain. That the Lord so desires to part the heavens and pour his rain out upon the earth. Now, brothers and sisters, listen. When I read this psalm and look at all the wonderful and powerful things that happen when the rain comes, it speaks to me of one word. And that word is life. In Psalm 65, life is bursting out everywhere. Life is bursting out everywhere upon the face of the earth. The Bible says God sent his showers and the ground was soft, so the fallow ground was broken up. And there was plenty of corn and wheat in the field. There were fruits on the vine. It says that the earth was covered with grass. That everywhere you look, there's life bursting forth. And what I want us to understand is this. What God is doing is he's painting a visible picture. He's using something in the natural to describe something in the spiritual. He says in verse 9, let me just read it. He says, thou enrichest it with the river of God. Beloved, the river of God is the blessed Spirit of God. What the Lord is saying is that when my people come into a place of worship with faith and expectation in their heart, truly laying hold of my willingness to answer their prayers, he's saying it's my soul, my desire to pour myself upon that people. To pour my spirit out upon that people. To pour out my blessings upon that people. And brothers and sisters, one more time, this is something that we really need to get a hold of as a church. I'm telling you, if we really get a hold of this as a church, it will change our church. It will change our prayer meetings. It will change the way we come in to seek the Lord together. God is saying that when you come in with faith and expectation, knowing your sins are forgiven, and you really begin to lay a hold of me in prayer because you know I desire to answer your prayers, he's saying, I'll pour out my spirit upon you. I will pour out my blessings upon you. I will hear your prayers. Those prayers that are so weighty upon your heart, I desire to answer those prayers. They may not be answered overnight, but I will start working and pushing behind the prayers of my people. Those prayers that you are praying for your children, that they they would be saved and grow up as men and women of God. It's my desire to hear those prayers for deliverance, that I will come and deliver you from your fears and deliver you from your bondages and deliver you from those grips that the enemy has on your life. I desire to answer those prayers when my people pray. That desire in your heart, that people would see me and I would so be glorified in your life. I desire to answer those prayers when my people come into that corporate place, assemble themselves together, raise their hands and begin to call upon God and get a hold of my willingness to answer your prayers. I will answer your prayers. Your church will never be the same. Never be the same. No longer will people just come in, sit down, sing a few songs, hear a song, hear a sermon, go home. No, you will see miracles in your house. And there will be such a desire in your heart to congregate yourself as a people, because you see the blessing of my house. It's what the Lord is saying. Now here's something I want us to understand this morning. Look with me at verse 13. He says, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. In other words, the Lord is saying, I don't just open the heavens and pour out the rain just so the corn can grow just to be growing, and the grass can grow just to be growing, and there's fruit on the vine just for the purpose of having fruit on the vine. No. The Lord is saying there's a purpose for it. It's because there are so many others I want to be fed. There are so many others that I want to find life that is in God. In other words, the Lord is saying this, when you come into my house and lift your hands to pray and really call upon the Lord and I pour my spirit out upon you, it's not just to pour out my spirit upon you, but it's to give you something to impart. It's to put something in your heart and your life to impart. And what is that? That is life. Brothers and sisters, God so desires that when we come together as His people and really lay a hold of Him in faith and prayer, it's the desire in His heart to put something in our heart. It's the desire of His heart to give us a living testimony that others can taste and see that the Lord is good. It's the desire of His heart to put an anointing upon our lives, that when we walk out of the four walls of this church, we have a word in season for those that are weary, an anointed word in season that's going to impact their lives. It's the desire of His heart that when we walk out of here, when He answers our prayers and He pours out His Spirit and there's such life in God, we find such life in God in that corporate place with God. When we walk out of here, there's something in our lives that will compel others to come and find the goodness of God and the goodness of God's house. That's the cry of God's heart. I don't want to just pour my Spirit out and bless you and fill you with my life just for you. And that's part of it. But it's so that you have something to impart. I desire that my people have a heart to pray together. Come together and pray together and seek the Lord together. And let me open the heavens and pour out the rain so they can walk out of here with something in their heart, something in their life to impart and give to others. That's the desire of the Lord's heart. Now with all that in mind, there's something that I really want us to see this morning. Ooh, that's a lot, isn't it? I hope that really gets a hold of your heart like it's got a hold of my heart. I'm telling you, if it gets a hold of our heart and we begin to understand just how much God desires to answer our prayer and opens the heavens, it will change our church. It will change our times together. It will change our prayer meetings. If we really don't let it go in one ear and out the other, but if we really take it in our heart and hear, I'm telling you, this is so the desire of God to open the heavens. It is His desire. But it has to be our desire. It has to be our desire. Or this will just be another sermon. And we walk out saying, that's a good sermon, but nothing changes. It has to be our desire. But here is what I want us to see. Look with me at verse 9. It says, thou visited the earth and waters it. Thou visitest the earth and waters it. And that's good. That's a good translation. Yet what I want us to understand is what this verse says in the original language. In the original Hebrew language, this is what it says. This verse says, Thou visitest the earth and waters it after thou hast made it to desire rain. That's it in the original. The original Hebrew, it says this. Now hear it in your heart. Thou visited the earth and water it after thou made it to desire the rain. In other words, the Lord is saying here, I didn't just open the heavens and send the rain. First of all, I caused it to desire the rain. First, I caused it to thirst for the rain. And what the Lord is saying here is when my people, when their hearts are truly thirsty for the rain, when they're truly thirsty for the blessing of my Spirit, then I will open the heavens. Then I will pour out the blessing. Then you will see this wonderful manifestation of life when your hearts are thirsty for it. Beloved, let me ask you a question. What is it that apprehends the presence of God? What is it that draws the presence of God to His people? James says in His Word, talking by the Spirit of the Lord says, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw near to you. He says, if you will draw nigh to me. Listen, when the Lord says draw nigh to me, He's talking about a thirst in the heart, a desire for God. Because I'm telling you, there's many people that come to church and sit in pews and they sing the songs and they listen to the sermon, but in their hearts they're indifferent to God. They're in apathy about the things of God. There's no real thirst for God. So the Lord isn't saying just come to church, sing the songs and hear a sermon. No, He's talking about having a thirst in your heart for the Lord. And He says, when you have a thirst in your heart for the Lord, and I see that thirst, I will visit you with my presence. I will pour my Spirit out upon you. Beloved, when we as a congregation come into the house of the Lord like this, what is it that draws the manifestation of His presence? What is it that causes God to open the heavens? I can assure you it's not great preachers standing behind pulpits. I can assure you it's not great musicians and great choirs and great singers that cause the Lord to pour out His Spirit. And I thank God for that, when the giftings He gives us. And I can assure you it's not lavish and expensive buildings. I thank God for this building. But brothers and sisters, that is not what draws the presence of the Lord. It's when His people's hearts are thirsty for Him. It's when they have a desire for Him. It's when they say in truth, not just out of their mouth, when they say in truth, God, I want you more than anything in this earth. God says, I will then open heaven because I have found a people that are thirsty for me. They're not just coming to church to fulfill some kind of Christian obligation. Their hearts are thirsty for me. And then I will open the heavens and I will give you a blessing that you will not even be able to contain because you desire me. That's what the Lord is saying. He's looking for a thirst in the hearts of His people. But again, this is what I want you to understand. Let me read it to you again in the original language. Thou visitest the earth and waters it after thou causest it to desire rain. This is what I want you to see. Who is it that stirs up that thirst? Who is it that gives His people that desire and that thirst for Him? Who is it? It's the Lord. I poured out the rain after I made the earth desire and thirst for the rain. Beloved, it all goes back to the grace of God. It's the grace of God that causes our thirst and desire for the Lord. It's the grace of God. So my question this morning is simply this. Do you need the Lord to restir your thirst again? Can you say in all sincerity of heart, is there someone that can say, I just need the Lord to stir my desire again? Somewhere I've lost my passion. Somewhere I lost my thirst. Beloved, are you passionate about the Lord? Truly passionate about the Lord? Or have you lost that passion? When you come into the Lord's house to meet with the Lord on Sunday morning, is there a reluctance in your heart? Because you lost that desire to gather with the saints, and there's just a reluctance in the heart. Beloved, I'm telling you this morning, God is here this morning. And He is so ready to pour out His mercy upon us. All we have to do is ask Him. If you've lost your passion, God is saying, I am so ready to stir your passion again. If you'll come to me with a sincere heart. He's saying if you lost your thirst for the things of God and now your eyes are upon the things of the world, if you will just repent of it and ask me to stir your thirst again, I will stir your thirst again. The Lord says, when you come to me with a sincere heart, you can come to my throne boldly and find grace and help in time of need. I'm here to help you. Listen, it's religion that finds fault with people and takes pleasure in finding fault with people. But God's pleasure is to help people. When they come to Him with a sincere desire, His pleasure is to say, I know you're weak, you're as the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, but it's my pleasure to help you. It's my pleasure to give you grace in time of need. So I'm telling you, if you need your thirst stirred, God is the author of a thirst. And He's ready to help us. He's ready to stir our thirst again. Stand with me this morning.